This is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. We begin on the front page with Spring in Bloom, Flower Shops Preparing for Busy Spring Season by Caitlin Klepek. As the busy season approaches, flower shop owners in Bloomington Normal and McLean County are preparing for a spring and summer budding with events. Once spring hits, we get pretty excited to have the door open and people drinking wine outside, grabbing bouquets from our bouquet bar, and really just enjoying our atmosphere, said Meg McCormick, owner of Vera and Buck Floral Studio in downtown Bloomington. Vera and Buck at 115 East Monroe Street recently celebrated its 7th year in business on Valentine's Day. Sticking with the theme of romantic occasions, McCormick said weddings are her favorite events to work and anticipates many wedding ceremonies in the coming months. It's totally customizable to the couple. You tell me what you dream of, we put a little book together, and we always add a little extra because it's fun and we love to see your guys' faces. The store is open Tuesday through Saturday, opening at 10 a.m. each day. Ashley and Brad Marcy also celebrated their business anniversary on Valentine's Day, marking their first official year in business as Garden Grove Floral Design in Leroy, although the couple has been making flower arrangements long before that. As educators for Leroy Schools, Ashley Marcy said she and her husband got involved with creating corsages and boutonnieres as a fundraiser in her role as prom coordinator. I decided to get a floral certification, and then it exploded about a year and a half ago. We expanded to weddings and funerals and formal events and everyday floral. It started out as a hobby, but it has grown significantly in the past year, Ashley Marcy said. The owners of Garden Grove Floral Design at 222 East Center Street are already looking to expand their business. The Marcys are currently working on renovations to the storefront in downtown Leroy and have recently purchased a farm which they plan to use as a family fun farm. Brad Marcy said the farm idea came before the flower shop, but the storefront came first because Steve Dean, a former flower shop owner and current mayor of Leroy, contacted Ashley Marcy about the space being open after she became certified. It was kind of serendipity, I guess, Brad Marcy said. McCormick at Vera and Buck said she creates flower arrangements with her mother, Lori McCormick, who she couldn't function without. Though Meg McCormick is the sole owner, the two McCormick women operate the business together, along with Meg McCormick's father and Lori McCormick's husband, Scott, who owns Reckless Saint Music and Record Store at 320 North Main Street in Bloomington. McCormick said the flower shop's name gives a nod to her roots, honoring her two grandmothers, her mother's mother, Vera, and her father's mother, whose name was Bucky. They were women who had jobs and raised families and instilled in my parents that women should be strong and they need to go do what they dream of, McCormick said. That's what I tried to take away with this place. If you have some sort of dream, we're going to try to make it. McCormick was inspired to become a business owner after she found a job at a flower shop after college. The store owner took McCormick under her wing and eventually led her to working wedding florals. It was kind of a baptism by fire doing weddings in Chicago, she said with a laugh. Although weddings are McCormick's favorite event to create dazzling flower arrangements for, the Vera and Buck owners said Valentine's Day and Mother's Day are wild. She smiled while talking about the children who come in with their fathers to pick eclectic bouquets for their mothers. Vera and Buck also features home decor, a wine bar, workshops and tastings, hoping to create a community gathering place, McCormick said. We don't mind coming to work, that's for sure, she said, adding that she works to foster relationships with her clients. Candace Anderson, owner of Pollen and Pastry at 212 North Center Street in Bloomington, said she started out as a wedding-focused business when she began 13 years ago. A combination business that sells flowers and baked goods, Pollen and Pastry opened in Bloomington Normal after Anderson moved from Dixon in northern Illinois, where she first started. It just kind of grew out of something I enjoyed, something I had a passion with, Anderson said. The pollen and pastry owner said she took horticulture classes in high school, which sparked an interest in gardening. She grew up in central Illinois and also participated in 4-H and a lot of baking projects. Family and friends just started asking for cakes and arrangements and all this stuff, she said. Anderson is now a certified floral designer and Illinois certified professional florist. After so many years in this business, weddings are still her favorite event, she said. It's the whole picture. You're touching every, especially with flowers, you're touching every aspect of the day, Anderson said. Pollen and Pastry is studio-based, and since it does not have a storefront open every day, Anderson said she has been able to do her holidays a bit differently, offering mostly designer's choice products. The shop is open by appointment only, available for pickups Monday through Friday at the studio on the southeast side of Bloomington. The pop-up location on Center Street is open on Saturdays from 8 to noon for grab-and-go desserts, flowers, and gifts. Ashley Marcy with Garden Grove said she began selling prom flowers 3 years ago and has since expanded her and her husband's business to more occasions, plus selling gifts and even flower Lego sets. But prom is still her favorite event to work. I've been teaching here in Leroy for 13 years, so even my seniors and juniors who are going to prom, I've had since they were little, Marcy said. It's fun to do. I think it's a unique experience for us. She also noted she appreciates working wedding and funerals events, being able to feel as though she is helping in a big change in someone's life and easing that change. Community is important to the Marcys, they said. The pair have hosted community events in Leroy, including a pumpkin patch and tree farm, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouting events, 4-H programs, farm days, and even bringing Mrs. Claus to Garden Grove. We had the lights, and everyone who came through thought this looked like a Hallmark movie, Brad Marcy said. The couple said they hope to create opportunities for field trips on their new farm, especially because Leroy is an agriculture-focused community with students who are interested in careers in ag. It's nice to have really good curriculum-based information, so the kids are getting something out there aside from getting to pet goats, Ashley Marcy said. After more than a decade running her business, Anderson at Pollen and Pastry said she has also expanded now with 3 employees, including a baker who has worked with her for the last 6 or 7 years. I'm really lucky to have an awesome, awesome team to help, Anderson said with a smile. Similar to McCormick, Anderson said she allows her customers to pick a price point, and customers then trust the florist to make an appropriate arrangement, using their preferred color scheme with the most seasonal, most fresh, best product, Anderson said. She grows her own flowers and uses flowers from local growers. Ashley Marcy said once their farm is open, she and her husband are going to try to grow their own fresh-cut flowers. The owners of these 3 McLean County flower shops said they prepare for the busy seasons by keeping an inventory of popular flowers in stock, which are usually outsourced from local growers or wholesalers, but sometimes from other climates that allow for better growing conditions. Reviewing the year before is kind of the first step, looking back at how many arrangements we did for each event, trying to predict a little. After that, it's really about getting your orders organized and thinking about what we can get locally that time of year. It's a lot of prepping numbers and quantities, Anderson said. Anderson said Pollen and Pastry harvest once a week based on what is ready, then keeps the flowers in a cooler to keep them fresh for up to a week before circulating new flowers in. McCormick echoed her Anderson's methods of planning, detailing her flower schedule, which includes specific flowers coming in for weddings on Wednesdays, processing Tuesdays through Thursdays, and making arrangements Thursday afternoons into Friday for weekend events, such as weddings. For graduations, proms, and other events, McCormick said she tries to prepare ahead by having pre-made corsages and bouquets, sometimes in school colors. We'll order a few things that we think they'll love for graduation bouquets and have those ready to go with some reds and whites for ISU, McCormick said. For prom, Ashley Marcy said she typically gets orders far in advance, which can compensate for the influx of orders. I look at last year's sales and I try to project. In local events, we have Miss Ford County Fair pageant set for June 23rd by Olivia Jacobs. The 2025 Miss Ford County Fair pageant will be held at 7 p.m. Monday, June 23rd at the fairgrounds in Melvin. Those who are interested in participating must be at least 16 years old, but no older than 21 by January 1st, 2026. Participants must also live in Ford County, currently attend or be a graduate of a Ford County school, or a participant in Ford County 4-H sponsored activities. An informal meeting for interested participants will be held at 9 a.m. Saturday, May 10th at the Wall Township Building at 899 North State Route 115 in Loda. The new 2025 Miss Ford County Fair Queen will receive a scholarship and a trip to the state pageant in Springfield in January of 2026, with all expenses paid. For more information, contact Miss Ford County at gmail.com or call directors Kirsten Wyatt at 217-649-1540 or Elena Keefe at 218-898-6102. Olivia Jacobs also writes, IWU's inaugural art festival set for April 25th through the 27th. Illinois Wesleyan University will host its inaugural Festival of the Arts April 25 through 27. The event aims to celebrate artists who have helped to shape the university's fine arts program, as well as an opportunity for alumni, faculty, and staff from the College of Fine Arts to reunite and reminisce and support current student artists, according to a news release. The three-day festival will feature performances and workshops at Wesleyan's various stages and galleries, including art showcases, theater presentations, musical performances, and film showings. There will also be meals and cocktail hours. Registration for the meals is required and open through April 18th. A full schedule of events can be found online at iwu.edu/alumni/events/arts-festival.html. For questions, contact the IWU Office of Alumni Engagement at 309-556-3145. Back on the front page, we have in agribusiness, farms struggle with good help. Aging workforce among labor challenges by Benjamin Harold with Illinois Farmer Today. There are only so many hours in a day and plenty of work to be done on a farm. Meeting those labor needs has been a challenge for farming operations as the farm workforce ages and fewer people experience a direct connection to agriculture. The industry finds itself in competition with others in a tight labor market, said Ryan Milholland, agribusiness professor at the University of Missouri Extension. The ag workforce, the labor available, is aging, he said. It's pushing on farms hard. It's also pushing up what we're spending on labor. The Bureau of Labor Statistics projects that overall employment of U.S. agricultural workers will decline 2% from 2023 to 2033. At the same time, the Federal Bureau estimated that an average of 116,400 agricultural jobs would open up each year over that decade as a result of workers retiring or changing careers. Median pay for agricultural workers as of 2023 was $34,790 per year, or $16.73 an hour, according to the Bureau. Adding to the challenge are the demographics of the country overall and rural areas in particular, said Mark White, program leader for the University of Illinois Extension's Community and Economic Development Program. As a country, we're aging, he said, adding, one of the reasons it's so hard to find workers is there are fewer workers to find. White said the baby boomer generation is largely retired and the millennial generation is fully into the workforce already, so there's not much growth in that group. Generation Z comes next and it is a smaller group, although workforce participation has continued to lag behind pre-COVID levels, he said. In addition to those trends, a relatively small percent of the population has direct experience with agriculture, so it can be tougher to get people to consider that sector for work. In agriculture, there's a challenge to finding people who want to do these jobs, White said. Part of that is fewer and fewer people are exposed to agricultural work. It's hard to go into Cook County, Illinois, and say, come work on a farm. With difficulties finding domestic workers, White said many rural communities, farms, and meat processing facilities look overseas to meet ag labor needs. Iowa State University's Ann Johans, program specialist and editor of ISU's Ag Decision Maker, said farmers have to find the right person for the job in a tough environment to find hired help. I think it's always a tight labor market, finding people who have the skills to match the job, she said. Johans said some farmers might be looking to hire manual labor or would rather outsource specialized tasks, such as herbicide spraying or more office-based business tasks, such as bookkeeping or taxes. Beyond finding good employees for the farm, retaining them is equally important, given the time and cost of finding and training new workers. You have to take a look at who you're competing with, what they have to offer, Milholland said. He said farmers can look to different incentives to help keep good workers around. This could mean some flexible hours, especially during less busy times of year on the farm. It could also be bonuses and performance-based incentives, or even frozen beef or help with housing arrangements. Milholland said clear conversations with employees can help retain them, outlining how to do the job, but also finding out what they value as a possible incentive. Communicate well with your employees, he said. Johans said these efforts at retaining good workers are well worth it. It's a lot easier to retain an employee than it is to train a new one. She said, clearly communicating what needs to be done and how to do it can go a long way to making an employee happy and confident in their work. How can they put a puzzle together if they don't have all the pieces, she said. Be a communicator. She said farmers can also look to creative arrangements to help recruit good farm workers, such as letting employees have an ownership share in some cattle. Many potential farm workers would like to get more involved in farming, but don't have enough capital or resources, she said. So arrangements like this might be appealing to prospective farm workers. A lot of them, those people are looking to get involved in agriculture. Milholland said, good farm labor management starts with a good plan. The more we can encourage farmers to have good human resources plan, the better, he said. You've got to have a plan that you put together how we're going to accomplish all our work here on this farm. Next, Drew Zimmerman writes, ISU faculty ratify first contract. Members of the United Faculty of Illinois State University, who have been negotiating their first collective bargaining agreement for more than a year, voted to ratify its first union contract on Monday. UFISU, a chapter of University Professionals of Illinois Local 4100, was first recognized by the Illinois Educational Labor Relations Board in January 2024. Since then, ISU administrators have met with union representatives almost 50 times in order to finalize the four-year agreement. Ashley Farmer, Associate Professor of Criminal Justices and Sciences, who has been the lead negotiator for the union, said members consistently showed up and demonstrated their commitment to a fair resolution throughout the negotiation process. They participated in open bargaining sessions, engaged colleagues in critical conversations, attended rallies and Board of Trustees meetings, joined practice pickets, and much more, Farmer said in a news release. Their dedication made this achievement possible. In March, the union voted in favor of authorizing a strike, and on April 4th, the day the union had the authority to walk out, ISU and United Faculty announced they had reached a tentative agreement. Union members voted overwhelmingly to ratify the agreement, according to a news release from the Illinois Federation of Teachers. One of the biggest gains in working conditions was the offering of 6 weeks of paid parental leave for all tenure-track faculty, union leaders have said. As faculty, we see the introduction of paid parental leave as a meaningful recognition of our roles as both educators and parents, said Jessica Rick, an assistant professor in ISU's School of Communication, in the news release. It allows us to prioritize our families during the first 6 weeks of parenthood and return to the classroom feeling supported and ready to teach. John Miller, president of University Professionals of Illinois, said his organization was proud of the ISU educators for their solidarity and determination. They stood strong together during difficult negotiations until they secured an agreement that benefits not only faculty, but their students and the entire Redbird community. Now that it has been ratified, the contract is effective immediately. In Illinois politics, we have Pritzker blasts Trump's tariffs. In Fox debut, he calls policy tax on working families, by Dan Petrella with the Chicago Tribune. Governor J.B. Pritzker used his first ever appearance on Fox News to take his criticisms of President Donald Trump's sweeping tariffs to the network's conservative-leaning audience, labeling the Republican administration's levies on imports, quote, taxes on working families, close quote. Pritzker, who has made frequent national media appearances since Trump retook the White House this year, is widely viewed as a potential contender for the 2028 Democratic presidential nomination. And as Fox News Sunday host Shannon Bream noted in the morning show interview, the billionaire governor has taken a more aggressive approach to criticizing the president than other Democratic governors who are also frequently mentioned in those conversations, including Michigan's Gretchen Whitmer and California's Gavin Newsom. Illinois' two-term Democratic governor wasn't asked directly about his presidential aspirations, and he sidestepped a question about a Fox News poll that showed majority support for GOP positions on issues such as bans on transgender athletes, deportation of immigrants in the U.S. without legal permission, and increased domestic oil production. Instead, the American people, quote, want affordability to go up, Pritzker said when asked whether Democrats are out of step with voters. Quote, they want their costs to go down when they go to the grocery store. That's the opposite of what this administration does. This administration says there were four working families and then attacks working families with the biggest tax increase in U.S. history with these tariffs, close quote. Pritzker's roughly 10-minute interview followed a week when Trump's on-again, off-again tariffs roiled stock markets and left American investors, businesses, and the nation's trading partners perplexed about what the president is trying to achieve. The governor's Fox interview was immediately preceded on the TV program, which airs on Fox affiliates across the country, by a segment about support for tariffs in the shrimping industry in the South. Pritzker said the potential for tariffs to help certain industries that face competitive disadvantages is, quote, an argument for targeted tariffs, close quote. Quote, but that's not what President Trump has done, he said. He put massive tariffs across the board, and that's going to affect not only the cost for average working families going to the grocery store, but it's also going to affect the sales of crops that we grow in the state of Illinois and across the United States, close quote. Pushing the U.S. toward potential trade wars with some of its largest export markets is going to make it harder for highly productive Illinois farmers to sell their corn, soybeans, pork, and beef, he said. Quote, we've got to focus on targeted tariffs. Good trade policy, I might add, is really about protecting U.S. workers, making sure that we're expanding markets overseas, and focusing on lowering costs for American families. And none of what President Trump has done really does that, close quote. Pritzker also pushed back on the argument that Trump's use of tariffs is causing U.S. companies to consider building up domestic production or retain jobs here that otherwise might have gone overseas. Some of those decisions were already being made as a result of President Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. While any possible significant increases in U.S. manufacturing and jobs as a result of steep tariffs would take years to materialize, and we're going to lose a lot of jobs and have a big recession in between, Pritzker said. Pritzker also criticized Trump for using tariffs as a way of punishing major allies and trading partners, including Europe, Canada, and Mexico, where the governor recently completed a trade mission and signed a memorandum of understanding with the state that contains Mexico City. Quote, we've got a free trade agreement between Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. that should be strengthened, and we should continue to use that. It's one that President Trump put in place, President Biden abided by during his term, and now President Trump wants to blow all that up and retrade the very thing that he negotiated, close quote. Earlier in the program, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said Trump is working to fix imbalances that have hurt American producers. Quote, for decades, the way we have been treated in this country, and especially our farmers and ranchers, is absolutely stunning, Rollins said. We have been living under a tariff regime, but it has been the regime of other countries. During the interview, Bream pressed Pritzker on his frequent claims that Republicans in Congress want to cut Medicaid, noting that both Trump and U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson have said cuts to the government-run health insurance program for the poor aren't on the table in current federal budget negotiations. But Pritzker said the GOP's proposed $880 billion in cuts to federal spending would not be possible without hitting Medicaid or other social safety net programs. There are only three places that you can find that kind of money, and those are the things that most Americans, frankly, rely upon. I mean, Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. Pritzker said, it's going to really hurt families across the United States. Unmentioned in the interview was the invitation Pritzker received Friday to testify before the House Oversight Committee about Illinois' policies toward immigrants who are in the country without authorization. Pritzker spokesman Alex Goh said last week that the governor was evaluating whether he should take time from his busy schedule serving the people of Illinois to educate the House GOP on these matters. The request from Republican U.S. Representative James Comer of Kentucky, chairman of the Oversight Committee, came about a month after Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson testified before the same committee about the city's similar policies. Comer said in a social media post Thursday that he also invited Democratic Governors Tim Walz of Minnesota and Kathy Hochul of New York to testify about their state's, quote, sanctuary policies, which he contends threaten safety and violates federal law. Illinois law, quote, is fully compliant with federal law and ensures law enforcement can focus on doing their actual jobs while empowering all members of the public, regardless of immigration status, to feel comfortable calling law enforcement to seek help, report crimes, and cooperate in investigations, Goh said in an emailed statement, also noting that one of the Illinois laws in question was signed by Pritzker's predecessor, Republican Governor Bruce Rauner. And that completes the reading of Part 1 of the Pantograph for Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I will return shortly with Part 2.